Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Broadcasting from the ESPN Tallahassee studios in Florida's capital city and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Scuttle Bucks on 97.9 ESPN Radio. The Scuttle Bucks with Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty for new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Here's ESPN Tallahassee's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
And away we go with the Scuttlebucks. Always a pleasure to be with you. Much more so after a win like that, eh? I'm Jeff, that's Tom. Bucks are 2-2. Road Warriors. Hard to imagine, since we've been doing this show, or since we've been friends and co-workers, Tom, a more up and down experience as a Buccaneer fan than what we've gone through with the loss to the Giants and the win over the Rams. We talked about the devastation that we felt days after the Giants loss, that it was more like losing a game and a half or two games, that you could see the season on the cusp of spiraling out of control because of the way the NFL jobbed the Bucs with this ridiculous schedule, not having a home game until November, and just thinking, well, there it was, right there. You got the Giants down 28-10, rookie quarterback, you're at home, game's over, chip shot field goal, can't make it, season gone, just like that. With the Rams on the horizon, Super Bowl team from a year ago, undefeated, didn't look likely, right? Bucks go out there and drop 55. And the game itself was, well, riveting and emotional in its own right. And so now here we sit at 2-2, and you think, okay, the wheels are still on the rails here. We're all right. Hang in there.
Yeah, for me, I was going to a local watering hole to watch the game because it was not on television locally. At least it wasn't on the TV guide that they were carrying it. So it was the second half of the 1 o'clock windows. I sit down. I see a friend of mine who I know is a Bucs fan for a long time, wearing the Bucs shirt. And the first thing we do when we see each other is shake our heads, as though we're already defeated, because the lingering effect of the Giants loss was that strong. But then the next thing you know, opening drive, go right down the field, score. You get a turnover, you score. It's 21-0. You're pinching yourself. You're saying, okay, now in the back of my mind, I know we blew an 18-point lead last week, and this is a lethal offense, and they've been able to move the ball. So this game's not over at 21-0. But I didn't expect us to drop 21 points, period, this week. I was worried about the morale of the team.
Yeah.
And they came out and they showed that they, listen, as disappointing as the clock management was last week, they still buy into what Bruce Arians is selling. And that's the most important thing I take away beyond the fact that we got a huge W.
He said after that last game, and, you know, we were very angry with Bruce Arians, rightfully so. Don't take anything back that we said on last week's Scuttlebucks.
I'm pissed about his first half clock management. Ridiculous, but yes.
Yeah, so, you know, that has been a weakness to this point in the newest version of Bruce Arians. Occasionally we do question, scratch our head at the end of halves, end of games, clock management in general. But he also stated after that Giants game that he really liked what he saw that week in practice after the loss. Now, we're not there at those practices. We don't know. And coaches often say that. And fans rightfully roll their eyes because what are they going to tell us? Well, it was a somber attitude this week. Don't like our chances. Probably going to take an ass kicking. I mean, they're not going to say that, right? So you just kind of just assume that's coach speak. But I think he's right. They must have a little bit more resolve. And that would have been instilled way back when camp started, way back when Arians was forging a bond with his team. And, you know, you go back and we think about this in watching the Buccaneers when they were on Showtime, HBO, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks.
Yeah,
I can never remember the name of the damn show. And we talked about the things we saw that we didn't like. You know, you and I would come in and we would talk, man, I don't know, man. It's just that relationship between the head coach and the quarterback don't seem real strong. And a lot of subliminal messaging about, you know, what not to do and not a whole lot of infusing of confidence about what to do.
Well, you got a whole bunch of characters on that team that where's the substance of play behind the character?
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine that you want to be a cartoon person. But, I mean, you had Mecko Grimes and Swaggy Baker and Deshaun Jackson. Yeah. I mean, and I'm forgetting a few. That team was littered with personalities. But, you know, usually the personalities, we learn them after you start winning some games.
Right, right.
It was backwards.
They were emboldened with a false sense of confidence that we didn't know the origins of. And then it turned out that it was a lie. And they didn't like each other, and the locker room was lost. And you had a head coach who couldn't wrangle the troops, if you will, until it was too late. So I feel like the culture in the locker room, and I don't know this because there was no Hard Knocks for this year's Bucks, but I feel like the culture in the locker room must be infinitely better to come out and win a game like the Bucks just did against the Rams after losing a game like they did against the Giants.
Well, and the way they do it, 100% I agree with you. Here's why. Number one, the run defense is still really good. So, like, if you're looking for signs that people have maybe not quit, but they're thinking about it, usually doing what you do best, that starts to fall by the wayside. You start to struggle in that particular area. Well, listen, we're not covering well. I thought a couple of weeks ago on this program that Todd Bowles was dialing up even more pressures on the road to Carolina because we were tired. The secondary was tired. It's not tired. They're just not good.
It's not real good.
So I'm going to revise that stance now that I have enough information that the secondary is very beatable. But the run defense has been really good, and the line play, I'm looking at Ndamukong Suh, who at times has checked out over the course of his career.
Sure.
That dude is heavily invested. I don't think it was just the fact that he was playing his former team. To see him and Vita Vea and obviously Barrett, as he's still a monster.
Formidable group up front right now.
They're really, really good. And they cared to be out there. I thought, okay. If this was a game where the Rams and Bucks were struggling and it was no score midway in the second quarter and you say, okay, well, if you don't want it, we'll take it, that's one thing. But we went out and started to take the game away from them immediately.
From the jump.
And that, to me, speaks to the health of the culture in the locker room. I think by definition, you have to say that.
Yeah, let me piggyback on the point you're making about stopping the run. Not only is it something we do well, and it's good to see that that was not eroded, which means they came in with a lot of want to, but by definition, stopping the run requires a ton of what for and want to and moxie and toughness, mental and physical. You can't stop the run if you don't want to stop the run. You got to get off blocks. There are run fits. There are things that involve sacrificing your body. It's much more physical. It's not passive as it, you know, say you're playing a zone or something like that. It's very different. You've got to come up and be willing to hit somebody. You know, you saw it in the Giants game. We were flying to the football, and early on, Saquon Barkley was taking shots. And I did wonder if that would wane after you play that way and you lose. And then you go, you know, in heartbreaking fashion. And now you're going to play the Rams. And it's not like, you know, you can half step when trying to tackle Todd Gurley. You're going to have to bring it. You know, you're going to back-to-back weeks with grown-ass men running the football.
Or half-step when you're trying to block Aaron Donald. And
Correct.
What a plan they had. And that, you got to be physical there, too. It's not the same thing as playing defense,
but
it's as close as you can get.
Yeah. No, without question. And you're talking about guys having to play through injury or at least, you know, certainly.
Jensen did.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's. It's as good a win as I can remember for the Bucks in an awful long time because it's not a fluke. They didn't get lucky to win the game.
No, they took
were
it.
Better than the Rams on this Sunday. Now, we'll see what the rest of the year is for both teams. But that Sunday in L.A., the Bucks were better than the Rams. In fact, they could have blown the Rams out. I give the Rams an awful lot of credit, and I also roll my eyes at our secondary. But, you know, I mean, it's it was entirely possible because it was one death knell after one death knell, so it looked to me anyhow, that the Bucks offense would come back with right after the Rams would score. They would answer, and it was answer after answer after answer. You know, it's interesting. Another aspect of this is how well Jameis Winston's played over the last 2 weeks. And although there have been moments like the pick six there, I'll say this. There's not a quarterback in the league that doesn't make mistakes, not a quarterback in the league that doesn't make an ill-advised throw. Does seem like the first time he feels pressure in the pocket and is forcing one, it's invariably not just picked, but picked to the house. It's like a little bit of snake bit there as well.
Well,
it's like
a throw,
you can make
like,
a tackle.
You're like three-quarters of the way to the, you know, where the ball's going to arrive, you're like, oh, that's picked.
Yeah.
It's not one of those where it's a pass deflection, it goes to the sky. Like the O.J. Howard won first half against
San Francisco. Pick, yeah.
It's not that first half pick. It's the second half one where you go, oh, God, bleep it.
Yeah, man.
You got to be kidding me.
But you know, as is the case with Jameis, because of his history, I get it. The truth is people want to hyper-focus on that pass. The man's out here throwing for nearly 400 yards and four touchdowns again. This is now two road wins that are huge for this franchise. He played certainly well enough to win at home against the Giants. You don't drop 380 on somebody with three touchdowns the way he did last week and don't win the game because your defense can't get stopped and your guy can't make a 30-yard kick. So he's playing well, and he's playing with confidence. And I think it's important because what it's revealing to me right now is something you brought up during the last show, which is that it does look like he's starting to get a better feel for this offense, for what Arians wants, what he needs to be looking at, and also a willingness to understand, unlike previous years, it is not on you, man. Take what they're going to give you. If they want to take away Evans, if they're going to roll coverage to Evans time and again, and they did, well, then fine. You know, Godwin could have a huge day every week or the next guy over. One problem we do have, though, And it's pretty clear, when you get done with either Evans or Godwin, you're done, because Bobo's not a professional wide receiver. He's not an NFL
receiver. I don't get why these last two coaching staffs are in love with the guy.
I don't either. There's nothing. Listen, we covered him at Florida State. He's not an NFL receiver.
He was a guy that when he was on the field at FSU, you say,
no.
Okay.
Well, no, and he's not a professional receiver. We don't really have a third option when he's out. I'd say we miss Humphreys.
He'll get small and get you an extra yard here or there, but he's not going to break away from you.
No, he's a special teams guy, and he's not even that good.
He's not even that good at that.
I know.
Greg Reed, I'm going to keep the campaign going. You can get that guy
if
for
you
25
go,
grand and a case of beer.
You want ex-FSU guys that you think will excel on special teams, take a flyer on him. Greg Reed was the man.
That dude could have gone to Florida, and I would still say the same thing because of his innate ability. Because we suck at blocking it up and punt returns.
Yeah.
And I know Ryan Smith comes back this week from suspension, so maybe we'll be better. I don't know that he's a blocker more than he is a gunner, though, so... But still, I mean, we can do better than Bobo. Come on, guys.
Yeah, I'm again looking at these numbers, and I keep going back, and it's beyond, like, it's not just passer rating of 120 or whatever you want to look at with Winston. It's not just that they're able to stop the run, but this is a different Bucs team, and I think it begins with that confidence and with that locker room culture shifting. That's really what I'm because that's what you have to win a game like that.
Well, it goes hand in hand. I mean, he's protected awfully well this week, and that's a great sign. I mean, if you're looking for the sign that you can block Aaron Donald in that front with Dante Fowler, because remember the graphic last week is out on social media, and it shows the most quarterback pressures in the league through three games. And it was Shaq Barrett, of course, who's number one far and away. But then I think out of the next four, two of them were Rams. One was Dante Fowler, and the other was, of course, Aaron Donald. And if you're able to protect against that front, and you even have people who do this for a living, like X's and O's gurus, like a Brian Baldinger, saying the Bucs' play on the offensive line was so impressive, and their play on the offensive line was so impressive, I mean, that speaks to everybody from left tackle, right tackle, including right guard Alex Kappa, who has been under the microscope.
I didn't think he had a shot.
To this point in the season, Jameis Winston against the blitz, did you see the numbers yesterday?
I'm sure they're outstanding.
They're better than outstanding.
Well, he's always been brilliant against the blitz. Please blitz.
Yes, here this year, 31 of 39. 31 of 39, 525 yards, six touchdowns, zero interceptions, a 158.3 passer rating.
Here's what's objectively true. And I don't care what side of the fence you're on with the Winston stuff moving forward. We're all going to be judging very carefully and closely. He's always been brilliant against the blitz. And you know who is always really good against the blitz? Great quarterbacks. All of them. all of them are not people you can blitz.
Well, and I think he has always been good against and really, really good. Great, yeah. Whatever you want to use.
No, the numbers are all time.
It's true. It was true up here in Tallahassee. Yeah. Yes, it's true. Yes. But I think Dirk would bring it up.
Yep. No. I think it's true just in general of your really good quarterbacks because they see it as an opportunity and there's a man down. So you can throw to whence the blitz comes, and you know that.
But I think the most important thing about this year and the numbers against the blitz, it means that he understands the concepts of the offense.
Correct.
And yes. Bruce Arians has said over the years that he waits until week 8 to see whether or not his quarterback is grasping the concepts he's throwing at him. This is a month into the year.
It's huge.
He's got a perfect quarterback rating against the blitz, which means he tells me he knows what he's seeing before the snap.
Yeah.
He knows what he's seeing in the instant he has to make a decision after the snap. He's making the right call, and he's delivering the ball with accuracy. That's all you can ask
for. You know what? I think we're going to have to understand, and it will be interesting to see. I mean, look, I hope moving forward that, you know, he protects the football and, you know, continues to excel. We're not out of the woods. But one thing I'd say is I think once every other game, maybe once every third game, if we get the ratio down to where we like it, he's just going to make a throw that you go, nope, wish you hadn't done that. That's asinine. Don't know where that came from. But, you know, it's not like there haven't been upper echelon quarterbacks to even great quarterbacks. And we don't know where his career will end up, but we're certainly hoping as we invest in a franchise quarterback that it's upper echelon at the very least. That Brett Favre, and you can go on down the list of guys that took chances because they just trusted themselves too much. They believed in their arm. They believed in their abilities, whatever it might be. But they also went on and they were prolific and they won a lot of games and they threw a ton of touchdowns and they weren't check down Charlies like we see throughout the league right now. I mean, can you think about it? How frustrated are people in Minnesota, for example? Watch Kirk Cousins every week. I mean, good God. Guys never won a big game. They guaranteed him all that money. Dink, dink, dink. And now they're going to come up and stop Dalvin Cook. That running game will be gone. And that'll be the end of that, right? At least you know when you're challenging people down the field, you're going to make some mistakes. But that's the kind of – Arians wants somebody who will do that. He has said as much. Take chances occasionally.
Well, and they're all on the same page. And this is where that it sounds so basic, but it was not a week-to-week thing in Tampa the past couple of years, at least the last two.
Right.
They're on the same page before the Evans shot down the field. If you listen to Arians' comments post-game, he told Jameis, hey,
they give it.
We got a feeling that, and it was Leftwich too, we got a feeling that they're going to bring the pressure. So be ready for that. And then before the snap, Jameis talks to Evans and he says,
I'm coming to you if it's singles.
They're going to come. We know that they have to pressure us at this point and force the issue. It's all you, baby. So I need you to
put the
moves on. But
there's the deep shot that he hit it,
right.
And it's in stride.
And it's up the seams, not down. Right.
Yes.
In stride, the whole thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Evans let Peters know about it, too. He says, you're not going to come up and finish the play, I guess. I'll just take my time. I'm not a huge fan of that, but whatever. I'm a huge fan of that shot being completed down the field because what it does is that's on film for future opponents, and they say, you know what? He's 158-3 against the blitz. So I can't bring one.
Well,
I certainly can't bring zero because Evans is just going to blow by my guy. He's done it 2 weeks in a row now.
Well,
actually, three times in 2 weeks.
Proof he's healthy, though. See, that's we get back to the beginning, and we're going to talk to Joe Bucks fan here in a second. But, you know, Elijah Kemper, you recall early on everybody was so concerned about, how come we weren't able to complete passes with any consistency. And I was yelling, guys aren't open. They're not open. And the reason they're not open is because, A, new system. B, Evans sick as a dog. The Evans we've known.
And C, receiver-wise, I don't know what Perryman is. He's hurt right now.
Well, but it would have helped to have him on Sunday, though, because once he's out, even though I don't think he's great, he can't catch the ball with any consistency. You got to go to Bobo.
And I'm glad to see Braid emerge because if OJ's not going to be there consistently, somebody has to be over the middle. And the one thing
seen OJ
about Winston in general, he had three catches this weekend. Mm-hmm. The way this game looked, and I don't know if Wade Phillips just took a nap for the week because they're 3-0, maybe. Or maybe they just didn't care. They didn't think the Bucs were going to come and hit him in the mouth.
Credit to Byron Leftwich.
Yes, absolutely. There's great balance.
Out-schemed one of the all-time greats.
There's great balance in that game plan. But it looked like college for Jameis in that, seemingly at the top of his drop, right, he knew where to go with the football.
Boom.
Because nothing surprised him.
Coming out with it, yeah. It was beautiful. Tacked the middle of the field really well. Typically does. All right, Lita Kemper, Joe Bucs fan, going to join us next. Stay tuned.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
My man went out to L.A., covered a win, brought it back, and joins us now on the Scuttlebucks. Lita Kemper, JoeBucksFan.com, joins us as he's wont to do every week. Hello, Lee. How are you, baby?
Jeff, can't complain. Still wallowing in the glow of a Bucks victory in Los Angeles at the historic Coliseum, the last time the Bucks will ever play there. So it was really, really cool trip to the West Coast. Hey, I got to do a bucket list item. I got to see Curly Howard's grave. What can be wrong?
That's really cool. Good for you. By the way, did you get to talk to the fine folks of L.A., at least those that call themselves Rams fans after this game? Did you happen to maybe share a cold one with anybody who was as stunned as maybe all of us were that the Bucks rolled in there and dropped 55 on the Rams?
Yeah, well, honestly, L.A. being L.A., I think, you know, it's a chic thing to do to follow winners. So since the Rams lost, you know, they put their Dodgers cap on. You know, I did talk to a couple of people. They were shocked. But I think just for the, you know, they checked their watch and looked at the score and like, oh, it's baseball playoff season. I'm a Dodgers fan now. But yeah, they were very surprised. I mean, we were all surprised. And there's both a lot of good things to talk about in this game, and there's one alarming thing. And I like to use the phrase, I didn't come up with it, but I like to use the phrase, winning is the greatest perfume. And as great as that Bucks win, and there was a lot of things to like about that game, woof, that pass defense.
Yeah, it is disconcerting, and I've been really encouraged by some aspects of Todd Bowles' defense, namely the ability to stop the run. And, you know, if you're going to be a good defense, not a great defense, just even a good defense, you have to be willing and able to take away something from an opposing offense. And so far, this team has done a good job of taking away the run game, which typically, if you're thinking about strategy, leads to your ability to have more success against the passing game because you make teams predictable. And yet that hasn't happened for the Bucks. They took away the run game against the Giants, and a rookie quarterback lit them up. And they largely did a good job in the run game here, and they couldn't stop the passing game to save their life. Now, I say that. They did have three interceptions. But it's an interesting dynamic because typically if you remove an element of an offense, they become incredibly predictable, and you can have an opportunity to have success on the back end. We just haven't seen it. They can't cover.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is saving the Bucks. Is they have opportunistic defense. Shaq Barrett is just about worth his weight in gold. What would this defense be without Shaq Barrett? Obviously, Sue's been a big help. I mean, their run defense was Sue Villa. I'm not a huge Golston fan, but I have to give the devil his due. He's a good run stopper. So their front line, as far as stopping the run, especially in the middle, fantastic. And like you said, talk to any defensive coach. What do they want to do? Make a team one-dimensional. But and the Bucks have certainly done that, but it has not worked in the sense that you don't see the defense just shutting down people, except for the run, and which should not be glossed over. That's fantastic. Look at the last few weeks who they've shut down. They've shut down Gurley,
McCaffrey.
They've shut down McCaffrey. I mean, they shut down Saquon Barkley, and here comes Alvin Kamara, by the way. But the Bucks, I mean, that's a tremendous. It's like a murderer's row of running backs that they've shut down. Very impressive.
It is. And so it gives you hope moving forward that off of that, maybe a springboard to having more success in the passing game on defense. Let's hope. Now, it's interesting. You know, I know excitement levels have to be ratcheted way back up. Tom and I were just talking before we had you on at the beginning here of the Scuttlebucks that, hey, look, you know, I can't think of a more yo-yo-like stretch of 2 weeks for Buccaneers fans. And we're both huge Bucks fans, have been all our lives. That, you know, you think about that loss to the Giants game. I said to you last week on the Scuttlebucks, it felt like two losses. It felt like you could see the season unraveling. It felt like it's the kind of thing that, you know, is the impetus for a 5-11 season. And yet, we were saying that because we knew the Rams were on the horizon, and we were all just probably in pen noting that that was going to be a loss. And instead, mm-hmm. they go on the road and they shock us. And Jameis plays great, and the offensive line holds up, and they commit to the running game. They throw the ball over the lot, and they walk out of the L.A. Coliseum with 55 points and a record and a win, and all of a sudden, you're back on board. You're back believing again. But, you know, you'd be right to note that that's all well and good, and you may have saved your season with a shocking win. But if you're going to compete in this division, and it is imminently winnable with this division yep. being what it is, you got to find a way to win 2 and 3 and maybe 4 games, something like that in a row, where you get on a real run and begin to believe and buy in, and week to week you find a level of consistency. They've got an opportunity here. That's what I would describe this, a huge opportunity this week against the Saints.
Yeah. Oh, yes. This is the best opportunity, and you hit the nail on the head, Jeff. The wheels are greased to make some traction in this division. I mean, last year, one of the reasons why Dirk Koetter is no longer here, last year, the division was there to be had, with the possible exception of the Saints. I mean, the path was clear for a wild card run. Bucks couldn't take advantage of it. This year, the same thing is happening. Maybe, dare I say, a division title is there for the taking. I mean, Drew Brees is out. Cam Newton's out for who knows how long. The Falcons are, oh my gosh, they're circling the drain. Dan Quinn's already on watch list for Black Monday, if he makes it that far. And by the way, does it sound familiar that the Falcons happen to have a lot of Matt Ryan has a lot of interceptions and they can't score points.
There you go.
Does it sound familiar? Jeez. So it's there for the taking, and the Bucks, as you said, have to start. It's a quote Bruce Arians, have to stack them up. Have to start to get some wins in a row. This is an important game for a lot of reasons. One, for a race division title. You know, the Saints are on the ropes, so to speak, without Drew Brees. They didn't impress me the other night against the Cowboys. Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, he's not Drew. Let's not be mistaken. He's not Drew Brees. That is an important game. But on top of that, and I'll quote Chris Russo, Mad Dog Russo, SiriusXM fame, you know, one of the pioneers of sports radio. He said 2 weeks ago, before the Bucs played the Giants, he said the Bucs, for whatever reason, don't handle prosperity well. And I thought that was a profound comment, given the Bucs' history the last few years. They don't handle prosperity well. So here's prosperity. They slap around the Rams in Los Angeles at the Coliseum, like you pointed out, 55 points, franchise record. Let's see them do that again. They don't have to score 55 points, but another win on the road, a division foe. If you're going to make any hay, this is the time to start right now. And we shall see. Can the Bucks handle prosperity? We will see.
Yeah, and it's strange because the league is a week-to-week league, and it's matchup to matchup. And I don't believe in this league that momentum exists all that much. Either you execute or you don't. It's a good matchup, it's not. You do what you're supposed to do or you don't. And so you score 55 against the Rams last week. It's incredible to watch, and we're all still buzzing from it. Frankly, I'd love to see some sustained excellence on offense, but you know what? If you go into New Orleans and you win that game 9-6, I don't give a damn. You've got to find a way to win a game.
Just win
the game. That's the way it is in the league. It's a crazy league. It's week to week. It's matchup to matchup. Whatever has to happen to get a win there, I think we'd all take it, and you move along. Roll on, Big River. I mean, look at the Patriots. They're a machine, right? They played terrible on Sunday. Tom Brady was awful on Sunday, but they walked out of there with a win. And that's what the good teams do. That's what the great franchises do. They find ways to win those games that are 50-50 games or days in which they're not playing well. Let's see if the Bucs can do that this Sunday.
That's very key. And by the way, and I think you'll like this, what impressed me most about the game Sunday, something they didn't do against the Giants, they didn't take the foot off the gas. And thank goodness they didn't. If they did like they did the Giants, where they started pulling back and playing it safe, they would have lost. They kept the foot on the gas. And maybe they realized they had to, because the pass defense wasn't stopping anyone. So, you know, that to me, more than anything else, I've seen Jameis play well. I've seen Shaq Barrett play well. But what a great story that is. You've seen the people who shined at Los Angeles, you've seen them play well before, but keeping the foot on the gas, that was something we haven't seen, and that's one reason why the Bucks lost the Giants, and I like that attitude, keep the foot on the gas. Maybe they learned the hard way. It sure sounded like Arians, the way he spoke, it sounded like, you know, I got caught with my pants down, that's not going to happen again.
Before I let you go, Lee, I got to ask a quick question. What's going on with Devin White?
Still hurt. I'll find out more later today. Today's Wednesday. We're taping this on a Wednesday. It'll be the first team meeting for Saints Week, and they'll have an injury report. But from what I hear, he's not yet ready, unless I hear otherwise, not yet ready to get back on the field. As most football teams are, it's shrouded in paranoia. They don't want to give out any kind of information as far as injuries go. But I'm like you. Where's Devin White? You know, I hate to. I'm not going to knock a guy if he's
hurt. No, he's hurt.
Still. And I never knock a guy because I don't know too many people, with the exception of Myron Lewis, wanted to be hurt. So I'm not going to knock a guy for an injury. But we need to see some results for this fourth overall pick. We need to see him on the field making some plays. And if it happens to be this Sunday, all the better. But I'm like you. I'm like, where's Devin White?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to knock a guy if he's injured.
Always a pleasure. And folks, go to joebucksfan.com to read the latest. I always enjoy talking to you, Lee. Be well, buddy.
Oh, man, Jeff, thanks as always. I appreciate it. Had fun today.
All right. You take care. Yeah, it's well, of course we're having fun because the Bucks won over the Rams. I can't say it enough. To me, it's the same sort of pall that hung in the air for a few days after the Giants loss is met with enthusiasm this week. It's just the same sort of buzz. And I get it. You got to win some games and you got to find a way, but to string 2 and 3 and 4 in a row. But, man, I'm not going to not enjoy that win.
Well, it's a giant game on Sunday. It gives you those expectations and butterflies back. You thought after you go 1-1 to start the season, you get the big win over Carolina, the goal line stand, so to speak, even though it was about the 3-yard line. You think, okay, can we be 2-2 before we go play the Saints on the road and then Carolina out in England?
Yeah, and how you were going to be 2-2, you really didn't care. It's just as long as you were.
Well, and I'll tell you exactly how you thought. You're going to beat the rookie quarterback at home, and you're going to get your ass handed to you by the Rams.
Sure.
But, okay, the NFL is weird.
Yep.
And maybe it works out for the better, but you're right. I mean, we could be right back here next week, and the Saints beat us 24-10, and we say, well, screw us. We suck again.
Well, yeah, how you play will really matter here. I'm not expecting a win, but I'm not expecting a loss. That says an awful lot. I think that does. I don't know what to expect.
Well, Breeze isn't out there, so that's a good start.
But, you know, we've handled him pretty well. We've played well against him at his place. So it's like I wouldn't even notch that in the loss column if we were playing Breeze.
Agreed. Yes, we do. It's always seen.
I don't know why.
It's like post-Shiano dropping 8 in coverage. Like, that was the last where you go, well, screw us.
Right.
We're never going to beat this guy. But now that he's not playing, you know, how about we play to that standard against the Saints?
Yeah.
And he's not their quarterback. What could we do then?
Oh, blow him out, Tom.
Yeah, well, you know.
Searching for the best new Ford dealer with used cars and trucks in Tampa. By the way, you're going to have to bear with me as I read this because I'm blind and I'm reading it off my phone. In the interest of transparency, I'm just going to tell you that, Bill Curry fans. Look no further than Bill Curry Ford. their third generation. Tom got nervous when I did that.
I can pull it up over here if you.
You want to?
I got
it
my
up?
Spectacles.
You read it this week, man. I butchered this already. I can't see it. I'm blind.
All right. Well, I'll do it today.
Okay, and I will print it, and I will do the next one.
The thing I will say, it's worth noting that we did beat the Saints on the road last year. Do you remember when? It was Week 1. It was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And the bomb's away. Yeah.
Right. Hey. And it was Breeze, obviously, was their quarterback. It was a Fitzpatrick scramble for a first down that ended the game.
That's right. That's
because
funny.
It followed the same format that we've been following recent weeks, which is get out to a big lead and hold on for dear life.
Yeah.
Bruce said this in his press conference on Monday, which was keep scoring was the message at halftime. Keep scoring.
Well, good.
On the Bill Curry note.
Yes.
Searching for the best new Ford dealer with used cars and trucks in Tampa? Look no further than Bill Curry Ford. How'd you know that that's where you'd be looking?
Uh-huh.
Their third generation family business has served Tampa for nearly 60 years with outstanding inventory, affordable financing, top-notch service and repairs, and now their famous nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, or start shopping now, that is, at BillCurryFord.com. Tampa's first family of Ford for nearly 60 years.
Tom, you did an excellent job. I had no idea those were the words on the page, but I just was following along. We'll come back, wrap up the Scuttlebox momentarily.
Oh, sookie, sookie now. Hey! Come on, baby. Hey there, sugar dumplings. Let me tell you something, girl. I've been trying to say
shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
So if the Bucs are going to win against the Saints in New Orleans, they got to continue to work and have success on the ground. And you take it off the quarterback's shoulders. This is a recipe that the greatest quarterbacks to the worst quarterbacks and everybody in between would like to operate under, which is a sound rushing attack that creates a balance. And, you know, last year's team didn't have a commitment to the run game. And it's largely overshadowed because of the passing yardage and the big plays in the passing game last week. You know, whether you're talking about Godwin's afternoon, which was incredible, his career best as a pro without question, or the big play over the top with Evans and Winston's totals are all eye-popping, and that's a good thing. But in truth, I think that's what's possible. We came into the season saying that if they got anything from the running game, they have weapons. And it was nice to see O.J. Howard with three receptions in this last game, because he is a physical mismatch for most people trying to, you know, linebackers can't run with him. He's too big for safeties. You got to take advantage of these matchups that you have here. Now, you can only really do that, I think, if you're able to establish balance. And that continues to be a thing that we've seen through the first four games, is their commitment to the run. You know, Ronald Jones had the 70 yards rushing, 19 attempts, scored a touchdown. Could have been a much bigger day if they don't call back those two huge runs of 25-plus yards. You know, just a costly penalty there in the second half with the illegal shift. That was devastating. His afternoon could have been even better. It's a 1-2 punch, you know, so continue to run the ball. I think if you're going to win this game on the road, though, Tom, in addition to that, you've got to find a way to get something out of special teams. We're awful right now in the kick game and the punt game. I'm talking about us returning kicks and punts. It's there's getting nothing. You go back to TJ Logan's decision in the end zone.
Bruce ripped him yesterday.
Well, Monday. Listen, that all leads to that interception. I don't excuse away the throw, but you're backed up. They know you're going to run the ball on first down because your offense is limited when you're deep in your own territory. So everything was predictable to set up the third and long. You're going to have a problem. They know what's coming. And defenses know what's coming, you're in trouble.
I just like the fact that, just going back to the running game real quick, you got two options.
Yeah.
And two different styles. Now, it's not like Ronald Jones is only a one-cut back and he's small like a Charles Sims was.
No.
He runs with fury, and he will break tackles. Good line from Ira Kaufman here at JoeBucksFan.com this week. How good has Jones been? The only back in the NFL with more yards on fewer carries than Ronald Jones is Saquon Barkley.
Wow.
So you're talking about output per carry, efficiency rating, and that's with those big runs from this past week being called back. You know, Bruce took exception to one of the holding calls on it was the one where I think it's the second half where he gets down inside the 5-yard line, and you could see him on the field about 5 yards, and he's got the purple face with anger. It was called on two different players, though.
Yeah.
There was one decline. I don't know that you can, you know,
argue for two different.
There's two different holds.
Yeah.
And it's a really good play because we have the line climb up to the next level. All that to say, I think the key this weekend is to continue to be able to run the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that New Orleans front four, in terms of the pass pressure they bring, it may not be as top end talented as the Los Angeles Rams, but I think on the strength of the entire unit, it's just as good.
It's really good.
This O-line passes with flying colors on the road at LA, but that doesn't mean they're going to pass with flying colors against New Orleans. Now, if they do it back to back weeks,
buddy, what do we have here?
Effing excited.
You're
because
damn right.
You have a quarterback who you can't blitz, and you have an O-line that can protect against two fronts like that. Whoa, buddy.
And if you're able to run the ball,
yes,
there's real balance.
Yeah.
You can, you know, the shot downfield opens up. You get one-on-one. They got to come up to stop the run. There's a lot of things where Evans can exploit.
Well,
by the way, just to note, with Godwin, and I talked about his big day, there was so much to like about the offense, and in part because they were able to run the ball, then that freed things up. An amazing stat. All of Godwin's 12 receptions, Tom, were either for first downs or touchdowns. That's what he did on Sunday.
Well, and he also blocks, and he is furious.
Tough.
I mean, he's tough. It goes back to his rookie season. I will always cite this because I had a chance to cover the game up in Minnesota.
It was cool that you got to interview him and talk to him.
For JoeBucksFan.com. And he got in the second half, and I was doing like the low-level reports because, of course, Lee was up there and he was going to handle the big stories for Joe Bucks fans. So it's almost like doing sidebar work. And I'm talking to Godwin about the fact that he got in the fourth quarter. He gets some reps. You know, he's a receiver by trade, but he'd only been a special teamer at that point. He said, that's fine that I got the reps, but I got to get so much better in special teams. That tells you the attitude and the mindset. And if you're looking for a culture shift, and Bruce has talked about it since the beginning of camp, that he's going to get Chris Godwin targets because he cares in the running game to be a great blocker. And that's what Larry Fitzgerald was in his offense. That's what Hines Ward was in his offense in past iterations in Arizona and Pittsburgh, respectively. That's who Godwin is. But to me, one more thing about the running game I was going to bring up was note what we do in the third and fourth quarter. We have run the ball successfully in the third and fourth quarter of every game.
Yeah.
San Francisco down the stretch, we were able to successfully run the ball. Carolina to put that game away, that six-minute drive where we end with a field goal, you're able to run the ball. The Giants, I know that people were pissed about the consecutive runs, but they're averaging 6 yards a clip with a chance to put the game away. Running the ball, the third and two call was bull you know what. This game, the Ronald Jones run towards the end where he stays in bounds,
stays
in bounds. Play,
yeah.
Keeps the clock moving. That's a big run in a big situation. You cap it off with a quick touchdown. I mean, they're able to run the ball in the second half of all of these games. If you're able to do that again, that's a good sign on Sunday in New Orleans.
It'll be tough to run the ball this week, but I thought it was going to be really tough to run the ball against the Rams, so I won't count out their ability to get it done. And that said, you know, Lee mentioned it, Alvin Kamara. So it's a murderer's row of running backs that the Bucs are facing here right off the bat. But I will say this, if you shut that guy down, and you make them have to throw the football consistently. I understand our secondary has been poor, but I just got to believe at some point the dividends are going to be there, man. It's going to pay. You can't make somebody one-dimensional week in and week out and not have that work. Now, in some ways it has, because those turnovers were created in part because of the pressures you're able to bring when you know they're going to throw the football. And then also, obviously you talk about Shaq Barrett. Well, those numbers are going to be sky high because he's a guy right now that has an awful lot in his weaponry, especially when he's able to pin the ears and just go for it, knowing that they have to pass the ball because you shut down the run.
Which is what they wanted to do, yeah.
Yeah, and we probably haven't complimented enough on this particular episode of the Scuttlebucks, but Vita Vea, every week, man, just watching that guy, what a terror. People,
could it be that that was the right pick?
Well,
because imagine this front. I mean, Dominican's only drawn single teams now.
Yeah. Vita is the real deal.
Yeah.
When he's healthy, he is the real deal.
And to your point about, you know, the dividends of being in coverage all the time. It is 68 passing attempts for the Rams this past
weekend.
Oh,
yeah, no, he had to throw a touchdown.
68, he ties the NFL record for completions.
Yeah, make no mistake, Goff did not have a good game. Goff did not have a good game.
No,
you have to throw that many times. It's hard to have a good game, I guess in fairness to him, but those turnovers killed them.
68 to 11 was the ratio, pass to run.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, and you got a guy like Bridgewater who can have really good games in the league. He's not incapable, but I would think that even if they wanted to go 68 to 11, they never could with Bridgewater.
No, you wouldn't want to do that. Searching for the best new Ford dealer with used cars and trucks in Tampa, look no further than Bill Curry Ford. Third-generation family business has served Tampa for nearly 60 years with outstanding inventory, affordable financing, top-notch service and repairs, and now their famous nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Bill Curry Ford is 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, or start shopping now at BillCurryFord.com. Tampa's first family of Ford for nearly 60 years.
What is that, copy?
Imagine that. Hey, I can see it. I can read.
So is that your stance on this weekend's game? Is you don't expect us to win, but you don't expect us to lose?
Yeah, it's a really weird place to stand.
2-2-1, baby.
No, what I'll tell you is that I ordinarily, like I did last week, and like I had the week before, would take a stance that, hey, look, I like us, I don't like us, it seems evident to me, whatever it might be. The evidence tells me, The evidence tells me nothing right now. We're good on the road. Okay, good. It's, I like that. Check.
It's another sign of culture, too.
Yep.
Is that
just being able to win on the road.
You could be trusted to be with each other on the road and not look like a bunch of a-holes who were hungover.
Yeah. Yeah, that said, it was nice of us to join the party. Road teams overwhelmingly won last week. It was a record, I believe, 11-3 road teams last week. It was
Speaking
insane.
Of a lot of road teams or a lot of teams being bunched together, I think it's 12 or 13 teams that are now 2-2
Oh, it's crazy.
In the league.
Yeah, well, it's a league built on parity. It's a salary cap
now
league.
Now more than ever.
Yeah, except for the Patriots just keep winning. So there's all of that. But having said that, they're on the road, so it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to lose. In past years, you might go, well, road game, I don't know. But you don't say that anymore. You'd say that, well, Alvin Kamara is really good, but yeah, so is Saquon Barkley and Todd Gurley. Nope. I mean, yeah, I feel pretty good about our ability to stop the run again. You know, I don't love our secondary, but at some point I do like, first of all, I like Todd Bowles. So I gotta believe at some point, if you're making people one dimensional, you're gonna, you know, reap the rewards there. And so let's see, maybe it's this week. And then Winston's playing really well and we're committed to the run game. So
and we
you've
usually
got a
have,
lot of things.
In terms of road games, we usually have something for them in that building.
We do.
Whether or not we win is separate, but we have had success in that building.
Yeah, different coaching staff, so we'll see if that carries over. But I hope it's just a trend for whatever reason. Maybe it's just that he likes the building. I don't know. But Jameis, that is, he throws well there. They've had success there. I know that's true in Atlanta. He lights their ass up every time. But
it was also the birthplace of the eating at the W's, too. So there, you know,
yeah,
there are the ups
do that.
And the downs.
Let's not do that.
And
I think
then
it's
the
a different
sideline
guy.
Incident.
I think it's a different guy. He seemed much more subdued these days.
Just shoving a guy for no reason.
Yeah, just that was bizarre. Much more subdued these days. You're noticing that. And he's that way post-game, pre-game. During the week, you know, I don't think he's deflecting a lot. I think he's probably been through a lot. So, you know, there's a more mature element at quarterback, and that's a very, very good thing. All right, for Tom Lang, for Lita Kemper at JoeBucksFan.com, I'm Jeff Cameron. Thanks so much for listening to the Scuttlebucks. Go Bucks, and we'll talk to you next week.